one of the great men of faith. Hebrews is full of them. But today I'm going to focus on Abraham. In verse 8, the first three words, say it with me, ready? By faith, Abraham. That just is a summation or a summation of his life. He walked by faith. And I want to encourage you just briefly as we look at his life today. And I want to remind you that we are only pilgrims. Can you say that with me? Ready? We are only pilgrims. That's what I learned the most from Abraham's life. He was a patriarch. I've got three quick points here. That means he was the senior figure, the head, the father of the Jewish nation. He is also the father of all the faithful. He really encourages all of us to walk by faith and not by sight. When we need to get a faith lift, not a facelift, all right? Some of y'all, I could use one. But anyway, we all need a faith lift. And we can turn to Hebrews 11 and read the stories of these men and women, and it will boost our faith. So today I see that he was a patriarch. He was also a priest. He set up an altar wherever he went. Did you know we could do the same? Do you realize you have access to God? Okay? We don't need a high priest. The veil has been rent in twain. We have access to the Father. Every Christian is a priest. Now, we don't offer sacrifices for sin. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus took care of that once and for all when he died on the cross. But we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we also offer our praise to him, which we just did in this service. So he was a patriarch. He was a priest. But also, number three, he was a pilgrim. This is where we're going to focus today. He's our example of a believer who is called a stranger, a foreigner in this world. Look at this. I gave this to the guys to put on the screen. God's people, see if you agree with this, are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. No, we are citizens of heaven trying to get through this world. This world is not our home. And that's what I want us to focus on today. We're just pilgrims passing through. That's the way Abraham lived his life. And I want to encourage every one of you to also live your life that way. We're only pilgrims. Trying to get that across to people, though, today is almost hopeless. Because no generation has ever driven down the tent stakes in this world deeper than we have. Would y'all agree? We've got our smartphones. We've got our laptops. We've got our iPads and our flat screen TVs, our microwaves, and oh, the new one, air fryers. Man, I love my air fryer, just like Colton, all right? But we've got all these luxuries down here, nice cars, a nice place to live. That seems to be enough for most Christians today. Our lifestyle, our conversation, the way we talk, our conduct, the way we walk, should seem out of place. But a lot of times, you can't distinguish a Christian from an unbeliever. In what comes out of our mouth, the music we listen to, the things we do, the places we go. You know, it's hard to distinguish because we've gotten so used to this world, we're not even thinking about heaven. We forgot that we're just a pilgrim passing through. That's the reminder for you today. Instead of singing, I've got a lot of songs in my message today. Are you ready? Instead of singing, I'm bound for the promised land. How many are familiar with that one? Instead, a lot of Christians are singing, I'm bound to win the lottery. Oh, I'm bound to win the lottery. Oh, who will come and beg from me? I'm bound to win the lottery. See how our focus has shifted? We're not looking to heaven. We're not looking to the promised land. We want all this world and all it has to offer. Instead of singing, I'll fly away, woo, we have feathered our nest. And we are so comfortable down here. We don't even have a desire to fly. Well, I want to encourage you, church. Boy, let's have a desire to fly. One day we're going to be out of here. And it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we will fly away. But we're comfortable with our credit cards and our Social Security and our retirement benefits, our paycheck. Everything's cool, man. We've feathered that nest. I am comfortable. Here's another one. Instead of singing, "I feel like traveling on," we change the words. "I feel like settling down." Huh? Where are you at in your Christian life? Are you in a rote? Are you in a rut? Hey, I feel like traveling on. Because this world's not my home. This world is to be our passage, not our portion. Abraham realized that. Really, all the ones in Hebrews 11 realize that. And I just want a wake-up call for our church today. This is not our portion. It's just a passageway. It's temporary. Now, what does the scripture do? It warns us against the love of money, the cares of this life, and the pride of it. This is Pride Month. Woo! Did y'all realize God hates pride? Y'all realize He still hates sin? A lot of times we get caught up in this world. We better watch it. And we'll get to that in a minute. But look at Luke 12, 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness." That means guard against every kind of greed. You fill in the blank. Because all of us covet at one time or another. "Beware of all kinds of greed. Guard against it. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." In other words, your life is not measured by how much you own. That's not, God's not keeping a record of that. And you shouldn't either. And we shouldn't look at each other and covet what somebody else has, because life is not measured in that. Now, that passage goes on to say, be content with the food you got, the clothing you got, the shelter you got, and the things that you have. How many are truly content this morning? Hey, and then don't love this world. Don't lay up treasures here on this earth. That's not the most important. Lay up treasures in heaven, your eternal home. Now, God's people have a right to the common comforts of life. I understand that. But equating spirituality with prosperity is not biblical. I've just spoke on that on Wednesday nights. Prosperity gospel. Well, that's the big thing. It is not God's will that every Christian be rich. Do y'all realize that? So don't believe the lies and the garbage. Jesus, He didn't even have a place to lay His head. So you think He expects all of us to be rich and just get into all that? No, He was not home down here. And He doesn't want us to feel at home down here either. But He wants us to be able to take care of ourselves. Here's the point. We are to overcome the world, not enjoy it. We're to live in the world, but we're not to love the world. We're supposed to overcome the world through the power that lives inside of us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But boy, let's not enjoy it too much, because this is not our eternal home. I think we've lost our pilgrim character. We've lost the marks of our heavenly citizenship. We've settled like Lot did in Sodom. By the way, the USA is a lot like Sodom, right? When we're rich, listen to this. Remember the church of Laodicea? They said, "We're rich and we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing." Boy, that's a dangerous place to be in. It's a dark day when we forget where our true home is. Let's look at verse 8 and 9, Hebrews chapter 11. Are you with me there? "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out," underline that in your Bible, "into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance." He's going to go to another land. God's going to give it to him. He tells him to leave home, go out. Then look at the next word in verse 8. Obeyed. Say that with me. Ready? Obeyed. Wow. Isn't that a novel thought? When God tells you to do something, what are we supposed to do? Obey. And he went out. There's how he obeyed, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. Look at verse 9. "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise." Well, he lived there by faith. He was like a foreigner, as in a strange country. There it is. "Dwelling in tabernacles, in tents. And with Isaac and Jacob," they did the same thing. "The heirs with him of the same promise." So Abraham was told to get out. Can I tell y'all right now, get out! Don't leave church, okay? Here's my point. We need to get out of this worldly system. We need to get out of this mindset that is so fleshly and so carnal. And remember, this is not our permanent home. Genesis 12:1, let's go back to the Hebrews 11 is just refreshing what happened in Genesis. Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. Abraham could have spoke back and said, well, now, wait a minute. I got to know where I'm going before I leave. How many of y'all like that? Well, y'all are planners. You try to plan everything out. Abraham didn't care. He said, I'm going to go out. Do you know we are to forsake all and follow him? Be true disciples. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross. Follow him every day of our lives. Abraham did not argue. He did not debate the issue. In Genesis 12:4, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He followed through. He obeyed. And that's what it says in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He got out. Now, if we're going to be pilgrim Christians, man, we've got to renounce this worldly system. We live in the world. We've lived in the world so long that sometimes we think God has changed his mind on some things. Like shacking up with a girlfriend's okay when you're not married. You think God's changed his position on that? No. How about this one? Homosexuality. What a great month to talk about that. Do you think, that was back then. He destroyed a whole city. But today, it's okay. And it's okay to identify whatever gender you want to be. No, you were created in God's image. Don't touch what God's created. And he has not changed his mind about sin issues. But a lot of times we go through life and we live like he has. My Bible says my God does not change. So we need to be so careful. But man, we are bombarded with the world and its philosophies and its lifestyle. It's all around us. And it affects our thinking. And then we start changing our mind on certain things that we know are wrong in the scripture. We rationalize it. We make it work for us. Oh, it's okay. Then we got to give up some idols. Now, what is idolatry? It's a misdirection of our worship. Wes talked about worship this morning. It's a misdirection of our worship. It's our hearts clinging. And it's our hearts confiding in that which does not or cannot bring us peace or security. Nothing can bring you peace and security except your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Elevating, glorifying anything other than God leads to emptiness. Now, one of the most common modern-day idols is our elevation of self. We put self on the throne instead of God. And then our merits and our abilities are propped up. Then we get into the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And it affects us. And we start putting things in front of God. It could even be good things like our job, like our spouse, our children, our hobbies, our activities, our friendships, maybe our impact or significance in the world. We're trying to climb the corporate ladder, whatever it may be. But soon enough, our love for these things start to climb above our love for God. What I want to tell you this morning, church, is get out of that. Get out of that mindset. That's worldly thinking. Take yourself off the throne of your life and put God on the throne. Make sure he is priority in your life. Give up those idols. Anything that's taking the place of God, because it will leave you empty. We must realize, here's another song, the way of the cross leads home. Aren't these some good hymns right here? Bid farewell. Remember that phrase in that song? Bid farewell to the ways of the world. Walk in it nevermore. Man, we need to have that kind of attitude, amen? The way of the cross leads home. So how do we apply this to our lives? How can we get out? Don't get out of church. No. But get out of this worldly system. The fleshly mindset, where it's all about me, me, me. No, it's all about him, him, him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Renew your mind daily through the word. Get out. Number two, get on or go on. We read that Abraham departed, went forth, passed through, went out, not knowing whether he went. If I say to my grandson Wyatt, come on along with me, Wyatt. Come on. Let's get in the car. You know, usually what's his first question going to be? Where are we going? Now, that boy likes some Cracker Barrel. He likes those pancakes. He loves ice cream. He loves a good trip to Walmart. His first question is, where are we going? But the pilgrim, Abraham, does not ask God, where are you taking me? Because if we really want to do God's will, it doesn't matter where he takes us. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. There's another hymn right there. Some of y'all are enjoying this, all right? I'm just putting in little phrases. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. I was raised in Murfreesboro, did some training in Pensacola, went to ministry in Dunn, Graham, Newport, and Roanoke. God did not furnish me a detailed roadmap back in Bible college or in high school. No, it was one step at a time. Our Lord's the way, man. You just got to go with him. What's the scripture say? In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what's he going to do for you? Woo, he's going to direct your path. All you got to do is follow him. Stay close to him. And he'll lead you. Our pilgrimage is not a vacation, but a vocation. God did not send you here to our church to have a vacation. Just sit back and watch everything happen. Huh? If you do that, you're going to sit, you're going to soak, and you're going to start smelling. You're going to sour. Do something for Jesus. He has sent you here not for a vacation, but for a vocation. He wants you to serve him. I didn't go to East Tennessee back in 2010 to tour the Smoky Mountains. No, I went there to do the work of God. God didn't move me here to the Roanoke Valley to go up and visit the star and look at all the lights of the city, although I love it. But that's not my primary purpose of being here. I'm not on vacation. I'm here to do the will of God. Do something for Jesus, not take a hike up the Appalachian Trail. Although some of y'all enjoy that. Not me. Too old for that. I mean, you know, there's joys along the way. But there are serious responsibilities. Especially every time I sit behind or stand behind this sacred desk. I do not take that lightly. Now, there's going to be mistakes on the way. How many have ever made a mistake? Boy, I better see your hand, all right? Every one of us. Let me just mention a few that Abraham made. Uh-oh. He had Ishmael. Born outside the will of God. He was born to Hagar, that's Sarah's handmaid. He took matters in his own hand and he did not wait on God. Man, we do that all the time. So God took Ishmael away and he never came back. Here's another one. Abraham told a lie about Sarah when he went to Egypt during the famine. I'm telling you, Sarah must have been a knockout. Beautiful. Because he did not want them guys hovering around her. And so he said, oh, she's my sister. And in emergencies, how many times do we forget God? And we fall back on our own understanding. Do you know anything done with deceit is a very costly mistake? It's a sin in the sight of God. So Abraham lied. Not so good. Abraham had a boy through with Hagar. Not good. You know, we're saved from sin. I believe that. But sometimes we're going to stagger. We're going to waver. I thought of one more. Remember how Abraham had to separate from Lot? I don't think he ever should have took Lot with him in the first place. And you know, we may have to separate from some Christian friends along the way. Lot was righteous. He was just. But he was living by the flesh. And he ended up in Sodom. We all know that story. But Lot was fleshly. Abraham was spiritual. And he did not need that kind of influence in his life. So he had to drop Lot. You know, some Christians are dragging you down, and it would be best to separate. We got to be so careful with that. But I can talk about some more mistakes, but I won't dwell on that. My point is, we all stagger, we all waver, but Abraham's life was full of faith and faithfulness. Look at Romans 4:20. Read this with me. Ready? He staggered not. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I love this phrase right here. Say it with me. Ready? But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Boy, he succeeded. Do you know when your faith grows stronger, your God is glorified? When our faith grows stronger, Jesus is glorified in our lives. Now, of course, we know about Isaac. Now, he was born in the will of God. He was the promised child, born of faith. And then God told Abraham to offer him as a sacrifice. Boy, Abraham didn't stutter or wait on that one either. He obeyed God, and God spared Isaac's life. What faith he had. Yeah, he made mistakes. He was not perfect. But he was devoted to God. He trusted his word. Now, how can we apply this to us? How do we go on? Abraham, get out. We're supposed to get out of this worldly system and lay some idols down. Fellowship with the right kind of people that encourage us. But go on. Wherever Jesus leads you, just walk by faith. Don't sprint. Take one step at a time. He's leading you. Some of you, I look out here and I see how God is leading you step by step. And you're growing closer to him. And he's wanting you to experience a true life of faith. That's awesome. Get out. Go on. Number three. Gain your true home. Abraham was concerned about gaining his true home. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, he's not talking about Roanoke, a city. No, he's talking about an eternal home. A city designed and built by Almighty God. How many believe he's up there preparing a place for us right now? Woo! It's going to be awesome. I want you to have an understanding and just a glimpse of your true home today. He sure wasn't sure of his earthly destination, but buddy, he was interested most in his heavenly destination. All these pilgrims in Hebrews 11, they desired heaven. Let me just read them for you. Verse 13, look at it with me. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Man, but having seen them afar off, they were still believing what God had promised them. They saw it from a distance. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Man, they knew they were just pilgrims. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They seek a place to call their own. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They could have gone back home. But that was not their concern. They weren't concerned about the places they left. They were concerned about their eternal destiny. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country. How many believe heaven's a lot better than this? Woo, you better say amen right there. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, a heavenly homeland. Are you truly homesick for heaven? That's a big question right there. Can we honestly say that we're homesick for heaven? Every one of us is going home. And boy, we ought to be excited about it. I'm not talking about Mountain Brook Drive. I'm going to be going home in a few minutes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heavenly home. Our present business is not to build heaven on earth. Y'all agree with me? That should not be your present business. You know what your present business should be? Get folks ready to go to our eternal home. Get them ready to go with us somewhere beyond the blue to live with Jesus, our Savior, forevermore. Let me ask you three questions. Well, the first one is, are you a pilgrim? We've been talking about, hey, we're only pilgrims. Number one, have you gotten out of this worldly system? Have you given up some idols? Maybe you need to do so today. Number two, are you going on wherever Jesus leads? You're just walking by faith. Your trust is in Him, not in your own efforts, your own abilities. And then are you happy about gaining your true heavenly home? If you know this song, sing it with me. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't know about you, church. I want to be a pilgrim. I'm not talking about the 1620 ones. Is that when that was, when they came over on the Mayflower? I'm talking about being a foreigner in this world. Don't dig your tent stakes down too far. Don't love the world more than you love Jesus. Walk with Him every day by faith and not by sight. And then one day, let's go to heaven together. And let's enjoy it for all eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Get out, go on, and gain your true home. I wonder, today, you need to get out of some of this worldly philosophy. You've allowed the worldly thinking to engulf your mind. You've changed some things and they don't line up with Scripture. And you don't know how it happened. It didn't happen overnight. But over time, like the frog in the kettle, you realize, what in the world am I thinking? I got some stinking thinking when it comes to that. That's not what the Bible says. That's not how I'm supposed to live. So let's give up some idols. Let's get that worldly lifestyle out. Eleanor, would you come to the piano today? Number two, I want to ask you, are you going on with Jesus wherever He leads? Some of y'all maybe are faced with some important decisions right now about what God wants you to do. It could be a vocation. It could be where to go to church. Are you walking by faith? Are you trusting Him? And then I want to ask you, are you happy about gaining your true heavenly home one day? Do you realize this is all temporary?